And this is Open Up and Bleed. Welcome, welcome, K-Chung Radio, 16:30 a.m. If you're tuning in, it must be 9 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. My name must be Eugene Kalarenko. Of course, let us note that you could be tuning in the future. The moment right now is May 31st, not him. But if you're listening in June, July, August, 2016, 2019, 3,117, the year of our Lord, then that's also fine. So don't let this be a timepiece for you. Let this be a moment in time, but let this not tell you what time it is. Except, let's just say it's time to have a little fun and get to know a special someone. Special someone, can you tell us your name, please?
Hi, my name is Jasmine Yunde. Nice to meet you.
That's cool. Jasmine.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Thank you.
It's pleasant. Like you, you have a very pleasant voice, a great voice for radio, but people can't see you. But I assure everyone that you're a pleasant seeming person, superficially, of course. We'll get into your inner soul later. But I also think you have an advantage in life because your name is Jasmine. Yeah. Like, that's nice.
Edna.
Yeah, Edna. Something hard, like Harglarg or something. Like, you know, like that's just bad. Like I would hate pronouncing Harglarg.
Yeah, I like my last name too. Yende. Currency. The N is silent.
Yende.
Yeah.
See, but that's a problem. See, that made me feel a little dumb because I know it's spelled N-Y-E-N-D-E, and so I'm like, Niende, and then you're like, the N is silent, and so people who are secure, probably, they'll be all like, sure, thanks for letting me know, but people like me, who are insecure, I'm all like, well, now I feel stupid.
Oh, I don't feel stupid. How would you know?
I don't know.
Not many silent N's in other, words.
What are other silent N's?
What are other silent N's?
Are there?
Huh.
Well, there's a lot of silent K's that sound like N's.
Uh-huh.
Like, it'd be weird if your name was K-N-Y-E-N-D, and then you were like, the K and N are silent.
I want to put some more letters in there to make them silent. I want a Z.
Yeah, get a Z. Where would you put the Z?
I put the end.
And a lot of people would be like, A.
Yende.
Oh, yeah, but that works. Yende. Z. Like, a lot of people would pronounce like that.
That'd be pretty cute.
So how do you exploit people with your pleasantness? Because whenever someone is like seems like nice, they have a great smile, a nice voice, I'm like, this person is probably taking advantage of so many people.
God, no.
You're not?
I need to be better at that, actually.
Yeah, potentially, or maybe you're just a quote-unquote good-hearted soul, but
you don't feel like you use cunning. I need to figure it out.
Yeah, how could you become? Would you want? You don't think that you really take advantage of anyone?
No.
You're.
I mean, I'm a Gemini. I'm kind of like wild, but I don't like intentionally take advantage of people. I mean, especially if I have like alcohol in me, I'm a little wilder.
Right.
And like
you don't intention, but everyone kind of does, like sort of subconsciously. Yeah. People are driven by their self-interest, sort of. Even people who like do good things for other people, part of the reason they do it is so that they can feel good about themselves, you think?
But I feel like there's also this thing where like selves, like what is the self? Like
what is the
an
self?
Individual self, a collective self?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, what do you feel like the self is?
What do I think of Jasmine Yende? I don't know. I need to be like, what do I think the self is?
Yeah. Sorry, you're trying to become.
I'm trying to become more like self-driven.
Right.
I'm trying to become more like that because I think that for me, I'm very passive, but I need to become more active and like more self-interested.
Do you think those being self-driven has more to do with feeling like completely feeling, looking out for the individual self and then maybe being less driven by like outside sort of community influences? Or do you think those are kind of two separate paths that don't really interact with each other?
Like outside forces imparting on how I
Caring about other people.
About caring about other people. How do I care about other people?
No, but what I mean is like, if you care about other people, you might be devoting less time to yourself.
That's true.
Maybe.
That's true.
I don't know.
But maybe caring for other people is how you learn to care for yourself.
That's true. That could be.
Or caring for yourself is how you learn how to care for other people.
When was the last time you were in love?
When the last time I was in love, Mutually?
No, you can tell me just unrequited, just one-way street.
Love.
Whichever, whatever's most recent.
Last time I've been in love, I don't think I've...
What do you mean? Don't say.
I guess...
You've never been in love?
I don't...
No, come on.
I mean, I guess high school was the last relationship I had.
How old are you? Like 24, 25?
I'm 22 right now.
Oh, 22.
I'm turning 23 on Thursday.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
wow.
Thursday.
June 3rd?
Yeah, June 2nd.
June 2nd?
Yeah.
23?
Yeah.
Huh. You're so young.
I know.
You're so young.
Wow.
Okay, so your last major relationship was high school.
Yeah.
So what was college like?
College was very hard.
You were single for almost
single.
All of college?
Not always by choice.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a very tall black woman, very tall, dark-skinned black woman, and I went to school in Portland, and it was just like...
Portland, Maine?
Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
Yes, which is the whitest city in America.
Wow.
And I feel like they just didn't know what to do with me.
But you don't think people, because you're so rare, no one fetishized you?
That happened, but who wants to date someone who really wants to fetishize someone?
But it was explicit? Like, there weren't people who were, like, very, like...
No.
There were people who were subconsciously fetishizing you, and so they just, like, were like, Jasmine, you're so cool, like, let's hang out, blah, blah, blah.
I think that I found more people who wanted to fuck me and not actually love me.
I think that happens to almost all women,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I think all women are faced with this horrible... thing called men.
And
most women, whether they are a unique, strange person in their context, mm-hmm. or a completely conventional, like, you know, norm, like completely like the medium person
uh-huh.
in their context, experience a lot of humans, men, who want to fuck them and don't really love them.
Yeah. And
but
so,
you sometimes do have to fuck.
Yeah, and like sometimes that's all I wanted, but usually
right,
that's
sure.
not. And like, 'cause I feel like sometimes intentions aren't talked about often. And so I guess I kept having more experiences like that than ones of genuine love. So I can't remember the last time I've been in like love. Like, I want love desperately. Hey, if you want to fall in love, hit up your girl.
Yeah.
But... it has not happened.
How do people do that? You want to give out a phone number or something? They should just Facebook stalk.
Find me on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Comment on my Instagram photos.
Right. Standardized sex.
Yeah.
You know that if someone tomorrow, like, adds you and then likes 30 photos in a row, that either it could be, and you like their photos,
uh-huh.
it could be the one, or just someone who's fetishizing you. Right?
Well, I guess we have to go on a date to find
out. Would that freak you out if someone did that? Or would it kind of be
like
flattering?
Went through all of my photos and liked
uh-huh,
them all?
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, that's cute. Thank you.
That's cute. But what if you looked at them and you were like, this person isn't cute?
If they're not cute?
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's cute that you like me. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. But you're not going to like direct message them back.
No, I'm not going to DM them.
What if they're hot, but maybe their lifestyle is... not offensive, but maybe it's just not cool.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what are they, like,
you have certain signifiers for... everyone has their own signifiers for what they define as, like, cool.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, you know, a lot of the pictures are, like, them watching sports or something. I don't know what you think is cool or not.
But
or,
they're hot?
Yeah, but they're, like, physically... I don't know, what's your type? Do you have a type, or are you kind of, like, driven by the mind?
Driven by the mind, for sure. I don't really have a type. I guess my type is, I like artsy people.
Right, see? Signifiers.
I like, I like people, I don't know, lately, all the people I've been dating have been really sad people. Like,
oh, God.
Like, in a sad
oh,
place,
shit.
And they're like...
depressed.
Yeah, I've been, like, attracting some depressed people.
Isn't that horrible?
I don't know.
You like it?
I don't know if I dislike it. I'm just like...
You're pretty posy, though,
I'm pretty posy, but I also like... I think people who are pretty posy know.
Sure. They get lows.
Exactly.
They know high highs and they know low highs.
Yeah, and so I think I've already had a lot of my lows, and now I'm at a really good posy time.
You mean in the cycle of the last, like, 18 months, or you mean your whole life?
Both.
You've had a lot of your lows.
Both.
You don't see that many lows coming up in the whole rest of your life.
Oh, I do.
Okay, I don't want you to jinx it, but I mean,
I know.
But you're like saying that. That's absurd.
I'm not an old woman. I've already seen my day. No,
that's kind of what the vibe you just put out.
I know. Okay, so like, let me rephrase.
Okay, so you like artsy, depressed people.
I don't
so
like
what
artsy,
about,
depressed
what about
people. Like me.
Oh, they like you. Okay, so what about a hot guy, like, you know, like just beautiful, whatever, but hates art and is like, actually has no mood swings. It's really stable.
Stable.
A 9-to-5 job. Like, you know, has a pretty nice, like, apartment.
Am I their excitement?
I don't
know. I like that role.
You like someone who focuses their attention.
Yes.
Everyone likes that.
Exactly.
Sure.
But, like, see, that would be the fun part of dating someone boring. If I'm their little, like,
the
interest.
That,
I'm, like, the,
their,
like,
Pinterest.
Yeah. Like, I'm, like, the one bringing in the culture. Like, bringing in, like, the...
How long did you go in college without having sex? I went like a year, I think.
I went without sex.
Without sex. Self-sex doesn't count.
A year and a half. A year and a half. Yeah, I'm thinking
that,
like,
was when I read the most books.
Junior and like a little bit senior. What?
That was when I read the most books.
What kind of books?
Just in college.
Yeah.
Like when I wasn't having sex. I was like in the library.
See,
all
that's
the
when
time.
I was smoking the most pot.
Oh no. So I just actually got out of the longest relationship of my life.
Really?
Yeah, you know, Joan, you know.
What? That ended?
Yeah, it ended. And Joan is a really great, like, person. Like, I admire her so much. I love her. I love her.
Do you also live together?
We do. And we're trying to figure that out. Like, basically, neither of us wants to leave the house because it's, like, such a great deal. And it's, like, you know, it's really cool, even though.
But, it's a very cool house.
It's very cool. And it's a perfect location, and it's incredibly cheap. I don't even want to say it on air because then all the listeners will just stop listening because it's, like, offensively cheap. And, and there are a lot, you know, Joan makes clothes, and she's real creative, and she can do anything. Basically, I think she can do anything. She's super smart. She knows.
She made her couch, right?
She made everything in the living room. The couch, the light fixture. She wired it. She did everything. The curtains, etc. And one of the things I admired the most about her is that she was, like, kind of antisocial. That she kind of, like, was happy to be alone and do her own thing and didn't need other people and kind of hated chit-chat. She hated parties and chit-chat and stuff. And I just thought that was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know. And then when you live together, though, with them. And I'm really different. I'm, like, so social. I, like, love hanging out. It gives me energy to hang out with people.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
that's why I like this show. I'm like, fuck music. I just want to talk to people, you know?
Yeah.
When we started living together, the differences that those outlooks on life lead to in terms of behavior, interaction, and just sort of day-to-day living, it just became too much for both of us, I think. You know? And, my concept, Joan is depressed because she doesn't like those things. She doesn't like what life has to offer, you know, because we are social beings, human. And I think for her, maybe I was, like, depressingly social, even though I wasn't, like, depressed. I was maybe, like, my behavior, I think, kind of rankled her the wrong way. Because I was like, let's go out, let's go hang out with people, like, let's get inspired by the world. And Joan has so much going on in her head that she doesn't need the world to get inspired. Which, again, like, see, I admire her very much, but sometimes those things just don't work together, you know?
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
So there's been no one that you have just, like, crushed on and then it didn't work out recently? You don't have to name names. I'm just saying, what's the sitch?
What is the sitch? You see, I'm in this process in my life where I'm trying to transform how I deal with romance.
Yes.
It's just been so
You're 22.
Difficult. Yeah.
This is probably the moment in time when you could and will be, like, the most desperately romantic.
Yeah.
Like, as I get older, you know, I just become more and more a cliche. Like, I feel like over the last 4 or 5 years, I've, like, learned, like, romance isn't the movie version or the book version, you know. I've become more bitter. Like, you right now are probably the height of, like,
of
romantic,
like,
idealism.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. And it still is so, like, out there for me, you know, because I've had it so long. It's still so, like,
right.
You know, because, like,
dream
so, like,
could be perfect.
I know, but, like, every time it doesn't work out, I get more and more cynical and, like, bitter. And, like,
I want to say, don't fight it.
No.
Fight it, Jasmine.
I'm already
don't.
So bitter. I am bitter bitch syndrome. I have
it.
I don't
BBS.
Know what to do. I don't know what to do about it.
What? How do you think you got it? Because of all these depressed...
All these fuck boys.
Uh-huh. Fuck boys. How do you spell that?
F-U-C-C-B-O-I. Or
right.
F-U...
No, we'll go with that one. That's fine.
All these fuck boys. fuck with me. And like,
why? How are they fucking with you? They just message you nonstop?
No, they like, okay, this is what they do. They were like, oh, I like you. I want to be with you. Oh my God. And then you're like, okay, let's do it. And then you like start hanging out, and then they're like, oh, actually, I'm kind of going through a lot right now, and I can't be with someone.
After you guys have had sex a few times or something like that, I can't be with someone. Like, that sounds like a fuckboy.
Yeah, like you're like fucking around my emotions.
They're fucking with you.
Fucking, yeah, like mind fucking. Like, yeah. You know, like, oh, like
emotional.
Mm-hmm, like emotionally.
So people don't, shouldn't people like that be shamed?
Should fuckboys be shamed?
Yeah, shouldn't people know? Like, do you think these
that's a
people
good question,
are
because
like,
I myself have also been
right.
A fuckboy.
So then don't shame if you deserve the shame.
But the thing is,
it's human, right? A little bit.
It's everything's human, I guess. We can say that.
At what point do you believe that you? At what point can you differentiate between whether someone is being honest and just saying, "I thought this was gonna work out. I was desperately thirsting." I mean, thirsty is a word that's loaded now, but yeah. I was desperately yearning for you, this person, and now we've gotten to know each other a little bit, and actually, like, I realize that, like, I just can't get involved.
Yeah.
At what point can you distinguish between whether that's fact or fiction?
See, that is exactly the process I'm under now, because, like, I'm also a queer person, so, like, I'm currently kind of seeing someone who I'm currently kind of like dating. It's not my first time dating a woman, but it's my second time. Like this is my first time like seriously dating like a woman.
Right.
Like that's like
this is
where
recent.
It can kind of grow into something more.
Right.
Or the first time was not really the case.
First time was in college.
Yeah. And so like this is like, so like that process has like, what was the question? I kind of forgot.
It's kind of changed your attitude towards like romantic relationships.
Yeah, it's kind of like
because by definition, well, maybe you can answer this, but do you think by definition a woman can't be a fuckboy?
Or
do
you think a woman can't? No, that's the thing. I think this woman might be a fuckboy.
Okay, got it.
See, that's what I'm afraid of. That's the thing. Like maybe I'm attracting fuckboy energy, male, female,
universal.
Just like I'm just maybe there's. This time, maybe I'm not being more proactive about getting what I want, where I just lay around and like, I just kind of attract fuckboy energy.
Oh my God. Don't you wish that we had like a, say, said, you know, sweetness brings in the bugs.
Or yeah.
Yeah, but what attracts the fuckboys?
I think I'm going to write out a questionnaire that I give to people on the first date that just like lays out like, like ask questions about intentions, like how long are you gonna be here? Like, do you want to keep seeing you? Like you know, like.
Do you think there's something?
Is this a summer fling? What is it?
On the flip side, is there something nice about intensely hanging out with someone between 5 and 15 times, or between 2 and 4 weeks? Is there something nice about that, or do you think it's always kind of scarring, or always kind of a waste of time?
Oh, that can always
be chill, right?
But I think it has to be mutual. It
can't both
be,
people have to know.
Yes. If it's if you're both know that it's gonna end, then that's fucking great.
Yeah.
But if it's just like someone else is like
leading you on,
especially
to this...
if you need that energy of someone else being led on to make like
that's
the
evil.
Pinnacle of a fuckboy.
Yeah.
Like you know that person is like wanting something more, and you get off by being wanted more than actually wanting the other person.
Yeah.
That's fuckboy.
That's called fucked up boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think potentially, and maybe older people who are listening, we have a lot of 65 plus listeners.
Really?
Thousands who can just call or text.
Hey.
If you guys know how to text, you can do that. But I wonder what the correlation is between that sort of non-committal behavior that's also extremely passionate and driven, but ultimately like non-committal in the back of their mind, and how that is correlated with the way communication, romantic communication, and dating codes have changed because of like internet communication.
That's true.
Social
dating apps.
Yeah, social media. Just like remember like when you were even a kid and you were like on iChat or GChat or whatever. Like it's
AIM.
Exactly. So easy to like be your most witty, flirty self on those things, you know? It's so easy to just have, like, a great, like, hour-long, like, back and forth, just texting, like, the flirtiest possible way. And then, like, it's over. And you're high off of the texting. And and you don't really see the other person.
Yeah.
So you don't know whether they want to end it, or you don't have the repercussions of being like, okay, I gotta go, and like, you don't know how they're feeling about it.
That's so true.
And we've sort of conditioned ourselves to kind of interact with people in a simultaneous, like, two-way, but also one-way dialogue.
Yeah.
It's two-way because you need the other person to interact, but it's one-way because you can opt out at any time. And those conversations, texting, iChat, AIM, whatever, GChat, they feel very intimate because there's no one else around. It's literally just this direct line of, direct line of communication. So I do wonder if those sort of, I'm not trying to excuse the fuckboy. I definitely have also been in situations where, you know, I've behaved like that. And of course situations where, like, I was very into someone and then they were like, see you later, buddy. And then I'm like, no, I love you. Let me, like, you know, give me another shot. You know, actually weirdly, when Joan and I were together, we were in an open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I felt like, wow, I have chemistry with someone, or this person seems really interesting, I'd love to hang out with them and potentially get intimate, right away, I told them right off the bat that, like, you know, I have a girl. I would very, like, work it in very casually. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend, like, is really into that. And they'd be like, you have a girlfriend? I'm like, yeah, I have a girlfriend. Like, you know that before we hang out. So, like, actually, that rule, or that, you know, just being upfront with someone kind of, like, prevented me, I think, from being a fuckboy. But now that I'm single, I might become an incredibly terrible fuckboy again.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I will, but I'm just saying it's funny that you're right. People should have the rules in place to be like, I need to warn you, I have a fuckboy history.
The last fuckboy I dated was in an open relationship.
Uh-huh.
And that
he told you were in
insane.
A relationship, right?
That drove me.
He told you right away, right?
Yes, but the relationship was dysfunctional.
And did he make you think it was going to end?
No, but he brought me into a dysfunctional relationship.
Oh, no. How?
Like,
did you hang out with his girlfriend?
Yes,
oh,
yes,
damn.
I have, and like, I already knew his girlfriend.
Oh, you already knew ahead.
Yeah,
and he told her, like, hey.
I just think I was not ready for that.
Right.
People don't know. Sometimes the third party does not know exactly. Like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually a huge mind fuck for the third person.
Sure.
Because like he goes home to her, and then what am I? I'm just like a side bitch. Like, what am I?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like, that's not. It's not a good.
It's possible
place
that
to
I was
in.
Like a potentially a very damaging person. Of course, I like to believe that I was like very considerate, open, and kind of like, in a way, wasn't. It's so weird what ended up happening, because I said when we first started that, and it was Joan's idea to open a relationship. I was like, I mean, sure, if you want to, we'll do it, but I won't be able to be invested in someone unless I, like, fall in love with them.
Yeah.
That was, like, my philosophy. And then...
Did you date other people during the relationship?
I didn't date other people, but I saw a few other people, you know? And, like, I was very, I think, very clear from the beginning that I was, like, let's hang out, but, like, ultimately, like, we can't hang out for, like... We can't hang out to the point where we feel like... We're dating.
Mm-hmm.
I put in all these barriers to intimacy, and ultimately, if it felt like someone wanted to become intimate, you know, I had to squash that because I didn't want them going to a place where they felt like, okay, like, what's going on now? Now I'm in the middle of a relationship.
No, it drove me insane. It drove me to places that I didn't even know, like, existed, because it's like there was like this like form of jealousy that I didn't know. I didn't
course.
Know I could
right.
have. Like, I'm not a jealous person.
Right.
I prided myself. Like,
I'm being,
all of
like,
my
sophisticated,
life, exactly.
Not
being beyond that, you know, like, I'm
yeah.
not jealous of anything. But then, like, I actually start to experience that because, like, at the end of the day, like, they went home to like their girlfriend, and
yeah.
then I was just like living in limbo.
You were
like,
angry at the guy, of course.
I was
right?
angry at everything.
Oh,
I was angry
no.
at myself. I was angry
right.
at not dating to the other people.
Did you have a sense, like, actually, like their relationship was gonna end and me and him be together?
It's not. I never expected that.
Did
I
you
never
have a hope?
Wanted that.
You didn't even
no,
want
I
that.
Didn't have. A, I never wanted that.
But it was
I
still
did,
hard to walk
but
away.
But I did want to feel like I was. I did want to feel like we could have a relationship without her. But
yeah.
that was impossible.
Who knows?
It was not.
Right.
It was not.
You
possible.
Might not be together if he wasn't in a relationship or something like that.
You
is
know,
that
I just
maybe?
Wanted something that was ours.
Of course.
But that could never be because he will always like. You know, like, he'll always. It'll be like this cloud.
I mean, he cloud. Might break up with her in 2 weeks.
But I didn't want
who
that.
Who cares?
I
now
care.
You know.
Yeah, now it's over.
Wow.
But
I mean, you're really like.
But I got into a huge argument with her, and
ooh.
I told them both never to contact me or speak
wow.
to me ever again, and I hope to never see them ever again.
I will say,
because I don't want to see myself go like insane. Like, I'm
yeah,
a Gemini.
But,
that side of me is like
right.
really really wild. It's really destructive. I could be
I'll make a note of that. I'll
like,
make a note of
I
that.
I can be a villain, but I can also be a princess. But
or
I don't
a hero.
Wanna, yeah, or a hero. Well, I mean, like, I just, it's just like, oh, I'm just
I know,
so...
you're the, I feel it boiling up inside. Yeah. You're, like, reconjuring up. But let me tell you this. You're probably a good person in the way that, like, probably, like, a month from now, if you did run into them, like, you would be fine. You wouldn't care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right now, you're still feeling the rage and contempt.
Exactly. Because I'm, like, 22. I'm going through, like, this, like, second puberty where, like, I have all these emotions.
Yeah, this
me.
Is usually people go schizophrenic, so you'll want to watch out for that.
Okay, okay. Oh, sure.
Yeah, just be stable.
I'll try.
You're really twisting me now, though, because now I'm getting all these, like, thoughts and... I'm getting all these things race coursing through my skull, feeling like, oh no, like how many people did I hurt? Like, you know.
Well, people heal and people.
I just like, grow. Maybe I'm, you know, we all live under the delusion of our own interiority, mm-hmm. and we all kind of feel like, well, I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a good person. Like, I am considerate to other people. We don't know how we hurt others.
I hurt them.
Yeah.
I know I hurt them.
We don't know
I how. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I had to leave because I was like right. I am literally volcanoing on right. on. Like,
have you ever been to a volcano?
Have I been to a volcano?
Yeah.
No. I've seen them from afar.
Yeah, they have one around Mount St. Helens. Where's that? Seattle or Portland?
It is. Yeah, I think that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, you've seen
that's
that from afar.
I've seen that.
Yeah. What's the farthest you ever traveled?
To Vietnam.
What's up, Bryce? Is it too loud?
To turn yours up a little bit.
Mine?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Vietnam.
Yeah.
How long were you there for?
4 months.
Wow. You were living there, basically.
Mm-hmm.
All over, up and down
abroad.
The Delta?
I was up and down. Well, we only traveled up and down for a month, mainly in Ho Chi Minh City.
Do you speak a little Vietnamese?
I did learn for 4 months, but my accent
right.
is gone now.
You're embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed.
You can't
sure.
even say anything. You don't want to.
Come on.
What does that mean, huh?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Well, last week we had Diane on the show, and she's Vietnamese. She's a friend of mine, yes.
Nice. I used to, like, when
America.
I first got back, I was obsessed with speaking Vietnamese. I was like, I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to...
Where are you from? You're not from
I'm from LA.
You are from
LA.
LA. So there's a big Vietnamese community here.
Exactly.
Like, you go to Gardena or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, I was getting my nails done once from a Vietnamese uh-huh. lady. And we talked about Vietnam a little bit in Vietnamese.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was really great. Except... she couldn't really understand some things that I was saying.
Right. But she was probably very impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, probably like pointing to you
exactly.
and like telling the others.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, yeah.
And then you just kind of stopped getting
your
nails done.
Yeah, because that was like
done.
A year ago. I got back a year
ago. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. So it was like, what, like after senior year of
mm-hmm.
college?
I went my senior year.
What did you study there?
I studied environmental sustainability.
I heard that in Vietnam, everyone or a lot of people, like old ladies in Vietnam, they find plastic bottles and plastic bags such a useful way to start fires.
To start fires?
To, like, start, like, you know, like, a fire.
That's
like,
so
a
cool.
useful fire.
I don't know, like,
I mean, that's horrible for the environment,
oh.
isn't it?
Oh,
that they
I didn't
that
know
they
that.
Use, like, that they burn, you know.
Oh, there is a it, lot of things like that.
Yeah,
like
they're using things that are very, like horrible things that have been produced... for, like, America or something, or, like, you know, like, originally, like, America has dealt with, like, the 70s sort of smog environmental, like, mm-hmm. post-environmental backlash where we've, like, integrated mm-hmm. ways to deal with all of, not all, but many of the horrible products we mm-hmm. create to have comfortable lives. We've come up with ways to, like, make ourselves feel better about,
yeah.
like, using such horrible products, like, recycling or, like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, when, like, insanely wasteful and like bad for the earth plastic hits like India or you know developing countries like Vietnam mm-hmm. and they are quickly industrializing people there like you know it doesn't come with a warning like hey don't you know use this as your kindling
yeah
like this is horrible to use as kindling you are going to get cancer like I think there's a whole generation of people in Vietnam who have like lung cancer because of that
yeah
you know
that so, is I didn't know that I did not
what did they teach you what did were you studying about environmental sustainability in like Southeast Asia
I was more learning about how urban development impacts
right.
on the environment
sure.
like how the influx of capital affects
right.
the physical land.
Yeah.
Or like how parks are created, yeah. how laws surrounding what businesses can and cannot do, like environmental regulation.
But this is specific to like America, or it's specific to like Southeast Asia, or it's
specific to Vietnam.
To Vietnam.
That's what the program is
right.
for.
Right, got it. That makes
yeah,
sense.
And then also I was learning about like Vietnamese culture,
sure.
but also learning about art, because I was there, when I was there, I got an internship at a gallery.
Oh,
so
cool.
I was like doing a lot of
In Ho Chi Minh City?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like that's the first place I ever did performance art.
Oh, really?
When I first performed.
Did you do it in Vietnamese or English?
In English, but I had a translator.
Cool. What was it? Was it a poem or was it?
It was called Ra Agave.
Uh-huh.
I look back at this piece and I don't know what I was
We all
thinking.
Do. Not your piece, but our own pieces.
It's fine. It was about ideas of like of how we can learn about plant life.
Uh-huh.
And how like the growth process of like plants like becoming like SERPs, and like what happens with this thing that we pull from the ground, what that can teach us about art, and like how that can teach us about like.
So it was a metaphorical.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, it was called. Yeah, it was like about like taking the agave plant and making it into a SERP.
What is the agave plant?
It's what tequila is made out
oh,
of.
Oh yeah, right.
Like agave syrup, yeah. like that like SERP.
Sure.
Like, yeah. And so I was thinking about like all the things that this one plant can be. And
is that natural to Vietnam?
No.
It's like Mexico,
no,
South America.
Yeah, exactly. But I was just thinking about it a lot. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
It.
You're Vietnam. You've
yeah,
just done
like,
something more for
I
the local.
I was just like, oh, uh-huh. I'm from California.
Sure,
so like,
sure.
I grew
that's
up with
mind.
The symbolism. Yeah.
Yeah. She went
and
to
also
high school
I found
in California.
That it means nobility.
Agave.
Yeah, it means nobility. So I was like thinking a lot about that. And then like also I'm my practice is all about transmedia. So about taking a poem and making it a video to
right.
share, blah, blah, blah. Or taking a performance piece. And so I wanted to think about that in terms of like plant life. Like taking this plant and making it a syrup. To put in your coffee.
Right.
Like taking a performance piece and
yeah.
writing about it to make a video to share online.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
so
some analog
about,
there.
Which was a great first performance. Like a
right.
first like,
I heard it was actually embarrassing.
Feeling. It was embarrassing. now I'm like, ugh.
But you need to
written
want,
about
it's
it
good.
More. Because I was sitting there because like, yeah, it's about metaphysics and blah, blah, blah. Talking about
but maybe
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
it's about metaphysics if
maybe.
You
but
I think we need
was.
More I think what we need more of in the world is people thinking philosophically and accessibly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's a lot of highfalutin theory going around, and then there's a lot of, like, identity stuff going around,
mm-hmm.
Just in terms of, like, what drives people to think about the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually think people should come up with a more heuristic system, like something that's a little bit just, because we're all human, like, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I think like politics and identity theory and like sort of critical theory,
mm-hmm.
which is this sort of bifurcation of the world, and it all stems, I guess, initially from like Marxist theory, right, where you just look at the world in this one lens, this one way. It's problematic because it divides people into not like, and like categories.
But do we recognize it when people are thinking very through these highfalutin things but bringing it back to a simple way? Because
do we recognize
example,
it?
Mm-hmm. In my radio show, I
right.
feel like my radio show does that.
What's it called, by the way? Give us a
Fit
plug.
Fit Form Function.
Fit Form Function.
Yeah,
when
like
is it on?
Like, it's on every other Sunday.
Okay.
Where I kind of like, for me, I use very, like, I keep these concepts kind of simple, but yeah,
right.
I feel like I'm also bringing in these like large, like identity politics thing,
sure.
but like I don't know, like for example, poetry. I think poetry is a beautiful
right.
way to be able to do
talk
that.
About things. Sure,
yeah, like it's a
100%
beautiful way to do that. And
yeah.
like in the most simplest things, you can explain like Marx's whole
yeah.
book in like
simple
a
and
sentence.
And complicated and also beautiful,
yeah, exactly,
and also
yeah.
challenging.
Yeah.
Let me check myself for a moment. Obviously, it's easy for me, white guy, to say, like, let's just deal with philosophy. Let's not, like, get politics and identity theory involved in shit because, you know, like, that is a way to dismiss
the
power. The
freedom to oppress. Have
yeah,
you read that
yeah.
article?
No, that's a way for me to
yeah.
oppress, right? Because I'm saying that dismisses the power of using a lens of like identity
mm-hmm.
To look at how the world is stacked against
mm-hmm.
and people who are, you know, marginalized by guys like me white guys. Mm. You know, so I don't mean to, you know, dismiss the power of that or to say everyone's doing it wrong. I think I'm partly reacting to, did you see this news article about the baby who fell into the gorilla?
Okay, tank? I have only heard people telling me about it. I have not heard or seen the gorilla or the baby.
I was thinking about it today because it's really troublesome, like, what went down.
What happened?
What happened is, there is Cincinnati Zoo, there's family there, and this kid, I think, you know, was, like, pretty small, like, maybe 2-3 years old, and he crawled in through, like, this hidden area and fell into the, you know, sort of gorilla enclosure where they live in, you know, in captivity. Mm-hmm. And the gorilla, like, you know, dragged the kid like across, and it was like really scary. And then after dragging the kid across by the arm, like, you know, 20 feet, was kind of very like protective of the kid. You know, after like going like crazy, you know, the gorilla does not know its own strength, has the power of like 7 men. Mm. You know? And so then it's like kind of protective, the kid like kind of propped the kid up. The kid was conscious and everything. And everyone's screaming.
Is
the, you know,
baby living?
Yes, baby's alive. Baby is fine. So everyone's like screaming, right? Uh-huh. And basically they called in after 10 minutes where the kid was in there. They called in the, you know, the zoo police, and the zoo police decided to kill the gorilla. Because their logic ex post facto was that if you shoot a tranquilizer, it's not immediate, so the gorilla might freak the fuck out and like bash the kid's skull in or like throw him up 1,000 feet, and then we're gonna kill the gorilla because we're gonna save the kid's life. So in the earliest like hours after this, you know, there's a lot of like people for the ethical treatment of animals, but you know, coming out and being like, how could you kill this, you know, and they're trying to defend their choice. But one strain of commentary and discourse, like it kind of like splintered off of Black Lives Matter, and then people were like, how could you kill, like, this, killing this gorilla who was like captured like from Africa and like brought here to be in like a prison, a cage, and then to save this white baby, like, that's white privilege. You killed this gorilla for white privilege, which is like, you know, I think kind of like, you know, I'm not saying let's kill animals or whatever, but it's like, yeah, I put human a little bit above animal, okay? And it doesn't matter, whatever, that...
Wait, so Black Lives Matter
There were people in that vibe in the Twitter sphere who were saying stuff like that. Okay. And then, like, 6 hours later, it came out that the baby was not white, but was black.
Yeah.
All right? And then all of these other people, like, white supremacist-style people, are like, the parents of this kid are like bad parents. And then like people like look shit up and they're like, the dad has a criminal record, you know? And like the dad wasn't even there, you know? And it's just, to me, really twisted on both ends, I think. Like, you know, that the first response, and what, like, you know, you didn't know too much about it. Your natural response is like, wow, it's such a crazy situation. A kid fell into like, you know, this enclosure for gorillas, and how horrific. And like, literally, I was telling you a story, and your hands were like over your eyes because you were scared for this child, you know. And that the first response on is like racialized, and then it's twisted again when it's like the other way. And it's, I think it's so fucked that our culture's like instinct is to do that in this situation. I you know, in a million other situations, sure. But you know what I mean? I think it's twisted that it went one way, you know, when there was this assumption that it was a white baby, and then it went this totally other way when the assumption was when they found out it was a black baby, and both of them are fucked reactions.
Well, people are always gonna have something to say.
That's people true, especially with the democratized internet. Now. Yeah.
But I think that it is wild that as soon as they found out that this baby was black, they decided to find criminalize the parents.
It's horrific.
That's wild. But stupid. I do think it's also like I don't know. I think it's like, it's something so So telling what people do with these events, like news events. Also, I think that this gorilla is probably like a distraction of some kind from something bigger.
Of course.
Probably this is like a distraction.
They sensationalize.
Kill that gorilla. That's a baby.
That's a baby.
You shoot that gorilla down. Yeah. As soon as they saw that gorilla touch that baby, I would have gotten that rifle.
And you should see the footage. It's scary.
I would have gotten that rifle as soon as I saw that baby and that gorilla touch. But also, I am not. I'm trying to become a better animalist and care more about animals.
I think the zoo people, the zoologists and stuff, they were so conflicted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
they take care
that
of
gorilla
animals.
Has been there for 17 years. They love that baby. They love that gorilla more than they love that baby.
Yeah. How did that baby get in there?
It just crawled in.
It just crawled in. Yeah. Baby, exactly. Babies are hard to control.
Babies are hard to control. I think that's right. Yeah. I do think babies
do a lot of shit.
Because at first when they thought it was a white baby, they're like, stupid white parents, that sort of thing. Oh, like hashtag white parenting and stuff. You know, it's like babies do all sorts of like shit. Like don't look for some dad's criminal record, you know.
But also I think it's important that we keep in mind that it's impossible for people of color to be racist against white people. Some white people don't believe that. I believe it.
Sure.
I believe it because honestly jokes like that are not that offensive. Like come on, like making like are you offended by a joke that says like against like white parenting?
No, I'm not offended inherently by the hashtag. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's like a call to arms in these circumstances seems to make it racial right away just seems so.
But I think
weird.
People, because it's also Twitter though. Like people do that just to get likes.
Right. Let's turn
like,
this
racial
into
racial clickbaiting is so real. Like that's the best way to get like shares. Like you know, like that's
I think you're absolutely right. I think like when we're in social media, like if we are rewarded as participants for a certain type of discourse, you know, and we get like gratifications, a certain type of picture, a certain type of tweet, whatever, like our instincts probably will be to go towards the thing that gets us the most attention. Evil monster Donald Trump. He's purely a creature of our social media culture.
Exactly. For example, like I was going through my news feed and I saw this ad from Allure magazine that featured a black model and it said skin lightening or skin brightening techniques. Hmm. Like, here's what you need for summer, blah, blah. And I was so offended.
Sure.
And I commented, like, please don't put skin lightening ads in my newsfeed, Allure magazine.
Right.
And then, somebody else commented, like, oh, they did this shit on purpose. They're trying to, like, they know that this would, like, cause some controversy.
Really, you think?
Like, that's what some people are saying.
Do
like,
you
they,
think
they
that's
know,
true?
They had a black model, a dark-skinned black model.
You don't think they're just dumb? Think about it. You don't think they're just oblivious?
Who knows? But I do think
that I think that most white people are oblivious to these sorts of things.
I just think it's wild that the first time in this scroll that I see a dark-skinned black model, she's advertising
she's dark skin.
Skin lightening.
She's dark-skinned. She's not light-skinned black.
She's dark-skinned. She's advertising skin lightening cream.
Yeah.
That's political
fucked.
As
sure.
hell, no
that's
matter
fucked.
What. And, like, that was... But at the same time, I would have never... Even like honestly, like that offensiveness was the first time I've thought about Allure magazine in like how many years?
Right.
Like
so it
that,
worked.
Exactly.
The geniuses over there.
Exactly. So it worked. It worked. I was riled up. I know what Allure magazine is now.
And now you know.
Now I'm like how, now it's
they
in
were probably like. Let's push this whole idea of post-racial.
Yeah.
They're like, if we really think we're post-racial, let's put that out there. Skin lightening.
Ugh. Like, it's so wild.
Wait, let's go back to the idea that it's impossible to be racist against white people. Because I essentially agree with you, but I like to hear, like, okay, obviously the reality of being a black person in America is... it's like basically you correct me if I'm wrong, but potentially horrific to go out into
a world trying to kill you.
Yeah, the non-black community where basically you are just stigmatized for existing.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing that I always think about to just put myself like even the smallest amount into the shoes of a black African American is like if I'm driving and there's a cop behind me, you know, like I get nervous even if I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, like I didn't do anything wrong, but like, oh, this could be really bad. Like, that is like 24/7 for a white person in America. Like, that only happens to me when I'm just when the cop's like following me. I get so nervous. But I assume the reality for a black person, like basically 24/7 in America, is that feeling. Like it could.
Yeah, it's like for me, it's more like just like seeing yourself and also being able to like not like for me, it's like I'm still waking up in a lot of ways, and I feel like for a long time I kind of like had all these emotions and I felt these anxieties, but I didn't really connect it to like feelings of usually being one of only black people, because I went to private school.
Oh, you did?
In high school. Mm-hmm. And in Portland, like being one of the black people and like feeling like an ostrich, but not knowing how to like talk about feeling like an ostrich in a city of penguins. And like not know, because like, sometimes like I feel like a different species. And also like blackness is one of those things where it's like, it's always never alone. Like being a black woman is something that's like, it's intersectionality. Like it's like being a black woman who's also queer, being a black woman who's also like had to deal with classism a lot.
Yeah.
Like, but like, I feel like for me, it's like, yeah, it's like identity is so, I like that cop analogy. That's really interesting, because that is how it feels. And that is, it's very, like, that's very, like, it's, that's a good thing to keep in mind. But like, yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you here.
Think so, with that metaphor more.
What you were saying, because you went to private school and because you were like in this kind of mostly white college in a very white city, and you felt ostracized, and you like didn't instinctively want to link that to being a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Your instinct probably was to say, "I'm a unique person." Right?
More like...
Or what?
I don't know. Like, I think that I am very... I love myself in a lot of ways.
Right.
For being able to be... To cross all these borders.
Sure.
Like, not many girls from, like, South Central can just, like, go... Like, I don't know. Like, can, like, do what I cross all the borderlines in one day. Like, not many people at all can cross all the borderlines I would cross in one single day.
You like it, or you have to?
I don't know. I guess I have to. I didn't really think there were other options.
Right.
I
just, you're just kind of doing it naturally.
Yeah, I was just kind of like trying to live. Trying
right.
To
this is interesting just, to me. I'm going to do this.
Exactly. Like, I like this, I like that. Just like kind of following my own interests. But then like, but I also did deal with a lot of depression and a lot of like sadness and like a lot of like
feeling
like
weird
feeling
and horrible.
Lonely. And
yeah.
Like, yeah. Like things
alienated.
Like alienated. Definitely.
Yes.
Like, and I, and like.
Which is.
Which
something
is,
that probably a lot of your friends and people we know go through.
Yeah.
And a lot of humans.
Exactly.
Go through that
These
shit.
These are very human things.
Yeah.
Like, these are
everyone
like
kind
also,
of feels
like,
alienated and left out. And
make you more human. If it, like
should make you sympathetic to others. Sure.
Compassion. And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Although.
Drive compassion.
Although it's hard, isn't it?
To have compassion?
Not necessarily to have compassion, but I do feel like ultimately when I feel my most alienated is when I feel my least sympathetic to other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like outside and foreign.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, I am foreign. Like, you know, I'm from another country and like, you know, in a place, you know, whatever. We all have our reasons for feeling...
deviant.
Picked on or left out or whatever, you know? It's probably why we're at K-Chung right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're going from place to place, do you feel like you're consciously doing the thing that's called code switching? Do you feel like that goes on?
Well,
or do you just feel like...
I think that I've been code switching for so long that I found this beautiful little middle where like I can sound like I feel like for me I've found this like really like sweet spot where I don't really have to code switch anymore.
You don't have to, right?
Where like I feel like I can like just kind of be myself everywhere usually.
Yeah, that's like the ideal, right?
But I don't know, do I sound white? Do I sound white to you?
No, you sound like yourself. Like
exactly.
you just sound like
yeah,
jazz.
That's like kinda,
and,
yeah,
you know
I think
what
that
I mean?
I've gotten to that point. In a good way, yeah. Like I don't know. Like sometimes in I don't think I have to code switch much.
Right.
Like I think that I've got like when I first got to like the private schools and stuff.
Right.
I felt like I had to sound more or like try to like hide parts of myself or something or like you know. But like
did you feel like you were acting? Did you feel like it was fake, or did you feel like it was just like this subtle nuanced change where it was like, well, I'm still myself,
yeah,
but like,
maybe I got so good at the change it just kind of became more natural or something.
I don't know.
And that switch, maybe.
All I know is the person that I know now, but you know the you. I feel the same as I literally, I'm 30 years old, I literally don't feel that different than when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I talk to people who are my age, like, of course, I've changed so much. And my theory, actually, is that people don't ever change. I mean, they might change some of the signs on the outside of, like, you know, how they like to be defined. But in terms of their disposition and people, and, you know, they can definitely have a different outlook on the world. But in terms of our, like, reaction to things and, like, how we instinctively react to stuff and how we behave, I think people are pretty much always the same.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Maybe that's a pretty dark view of life, but...
Huh. It's really interesting. I don't know.
Do you feel like you're different?
I think that I am a Gemini.
Uh-huh.
In that way...
So you really believe, like, in astrology?
No, I just think that, like...
Is Gemini mention number 4?
Well, I know. I'm not that into astrology. I just think it's because my birthday's coming up. And
oh,
so it's
yeah.
been on my mind. And it's
sure.
Gemini season. I just think that I'm very much, like, I get very, like, winded and very, like caught up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like,
And then you...
Like, I think that that is part of how I change into, like, kind of, like grow. Is, like, getting so, like, caught up in this, like, stormy mind that, like... I'm just kind of, like, forced to come out the other side like a different person.
You do? You do feel like you're a different person after these experiences?
Yes, for
you
sure.
Do.
Like who? Like, I feel like the person who entered Lewis and Clark College where I went and, like, left Lewis and Clark College are two completely different people. I was very, like I kind of found my voice. I was, like, less...
Were you more shy? Were you shyer?
I was shyer. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was definitely shyer.
Introverted.
Yeah, so now I'm, like, I'm not an extrovert.
Yeah. You're not annoying like me.
I don't think you're annoying.
But you're comfortable.
I'm a vert.
You're a vert. Your comfortable is just a little vert.
Yeah, I'm a vert. Yeah. I'm not inner, I'm not outer. I'm just verting.
You're verting. That is the beauty of poetry. I think besides this sort of humanistic philosophy, which, again, whatever, I'll just throw that out there as something that I'm thinking about a lot. We need to get poetry more into this, the everyday.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's a beautiful world. Why not?
Yeah, like, language should be evolving and changing and twisted all the time.
Uh-huh.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, we should, making up verting, that's important. Yeah. Should be making up words all the time.
Yeah, we have someone out there who makes up words, a Clictionary.
The Clictionary?
Yeah.
What's that all about? Tell me.
Chrysanthi makes up words and adds them to the Clictionary. The dictionary, but, like, all made up words.
Wow.
All words are made up.
Clictionary.com. Of course.
Yeah.
They're all born.
Yeah.
And some die.
Some die.
And most evolve.
It's lit.
It's lit.
Yeah, some are born.
Yes. We could get into
I didn't cry or anything. Isn't it?
You didn't. We're almost done, basically. We're essentially done. Actually, we were, like, pretty much done. So we always play a game. I mean, we didn't get into anything. I feel like how fast did that go by?
I know. What? You want to ask me something deep right now?
No, it's a game we play. It's not that deep. It's a little deep, actually, but you might cry.
Okay.
I'm actually going to give you 3 numbers, and you just pick a number.
Okay, right. I'll do that.
6, 20. 9. 6. 6. That's the most boring one. Okay. 6 weeks from today. So we're talking about July, middle of July, 2016.
Uh-huh.
What is the perfect Jasmine Yende day?
Oh, okay. So it's mid-July. I'm in LA.
Wherever you want to be. It's the perfect day.
Okay, it's a perfect
day. Be kind of realistic. You can't be on, like, Jupiter.
Okay, your girl's on the beach.
Okay, cool. Which beach?
Which beach? I haven't been to all the beaches.
Like Malibu or something?
I have not been to Malibu.
I like Malibu. Okay, what do you like?
I want to go to, like, Catalina Island. No, I don't like that. I don't like Catalina. Okay, I'm not on the beach anymore.
Oh my god, no, you could be on the beach.
I don't know where
I really want you to, like, feel it. Like, I want you to close your eyes and just, like, see it. Like, the perfect day. Like, you wake up in the morning.
Okay,
you could be on the beach.
In the morning, I'm in this, like, beautiful wooden small house.
Okay.
There's fruit in the kitchen. I eat the fruit.
What kind of fruit did you eat?
I'm eating some papaya and some mangoes. And then eating some pineapple. And then
you ate a lot of fruit.
I know. I'm,
but not salad. It's chopped. Okay, got it. It's not entire.
It's a fresh chop, though.
Oh, good.
It's not a stale chop.
No, it's a fresh chop, of course.
And so I got this fresh chop. I'm out here munching. And then I pick up my ukulele and I play a little diddly.
Are you good at that, ukulele?
I am.
Oh,
I've been playing for like 9 years.
Damn.
And then, okay, so I'm done. Okay, that was fun. Okay, so then I go out to the
water. That was the first hour and a half.
Yeah, so I've fruit my belly. I've attuned in my head. And yeah. So I'm going to the water. Oh, wow, the sand is not too hot.
Because this little wooden house is on
okay,
the water.
I'm in the wooden house. Okay, it's by
but
the
it's
beach.
But it's by the
and
beach.
And by the woods.
Oh, my God, I love that. So okay. We're talking about Santa Cruz or something.
This is an island where I have everything.
Oh, it's an island?
Yeah, this is my own island.
Okay.
But I get to
6 weeks from that?
But I get to fly to other islands.
Of course. You have your own private helicopter.
Because like I need my own island, but I have friends, though.
Do you have a ski-doo? Maybe you have a ski-doo.
Yeah.
Jet
and
ski.
We have to bone.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Yes, I'm going to bone my ski-dude.
Not a ski-dude. A ski-dude.
Oh, have they met someone who like skis me to the other islands?
Yeah, and then you're going to bone. Okay, fine. You have a ski-dude.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. You have a ski-dude, and is he your buddy? Like, do you guys hang, or do you guys just kind of, he's a little sex toy?
It's more how Stella got her groove back.
Right, exactly.
Like,
Bassett.
Oh, come on over. Okay, go away.
Right, he's just a little, yeah, okay. He's a rent boy.
I haven't even gotten to noon yet.
Okay, you boned, you ate the fruit, you hunt.
Okay, swimming in the water.
It's noon.
I'm out of the water. Oh right. My God, it's so warm.
Oh,
I
great.
Need some fried fish.
Okay.
So there's some fried fish involved, someone's making me food.
Maybe the ski and dude then, is a good cook.
Yes, that'd be ideal. Okay, so I'm done with that. And so now I'm walking and I go into the forest. Oh, beautiful.
Oh my God.
I'm taking a walk, a hike through the forest.
Wouldn't it be great if you
I'm gramming. I'm Instagramming.
You're gramming?
Yes.
Okay, in a perfect world.
Oh my
we
God.
Got, how many likes do you have?
I have 45,000 followers. So as soon
I love
as I gram
that.
A selfie of me,
it just starts coming in.
I have to put my phone away
right.
For the rest of the day.
1 gram and put it away.
Okay.
It's very responsible.
I'm done. And so they already did. That's how I get my
You actually
money
leave
too.
It near
that's
a tree.
Work. That's how I
that's
afford
how you,
my lifestyle.
Of course.
That's how I afford my lifestyle.
Just having a lot of followers and you're rich.
Yes. And so I'm on my island. I do my gram. Okay. That's enough work for the day. And then I do my thing. And then...
That's enough
work. Oh my God, I got a bone again. Okay, I
of
bone.
Of course, second time.
Second bone.
Well, how much is the ideal amount of times to have sex per day?
How many per day? I haven't found that yet.
Yeah. Sometimes it's one, sometimes
maybe,
it's three.
Maybe three. There have to be some time in between.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, like a morning and then a nighttime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
but you're
it's
around,
my
there's...
ideal day, so it's going to be three times
okay,
a day.
Okay, perfect.
Because like I need to work off my lunch.
Yeah.
And so then...
What'd you eat for lunch?
I had the fried fish.
Oh, right.
Okay, so then I'm done with my hike. I'm done with my work, my gram. Okay, and now I am back at the beach because I need to like put my feet in the water again.
And your butt in the sand.
And my butt in the sand.
Yeah.
And I'm reading a book, and it's like super nice.
And then you're like, hey, like I haven't seen any. Like maybe I should go to another island.
Yeah,
is that
that's
what
when I go to another island, and that's when I go home. And then
do you want to call tired. Out any like you don't have to. I don't want you to alienate some friends, but you could say a friend. Who you'd like to see?
Oh, I'd like to see. I'd like to see
a bunch of people.
All my friends. I would like all of my friends on one island.
Yeah. And oh you have your own island, but they all have their
and they have to fight for resources.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, you're creating this dystopic environment.
God,
you are the 1%. Well, now we've established that you're a plutocrat in the style of the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
I guess the show's over.
Yes,
oh, but
thank you for having me on. This is so much fun.
Yeah, it was, Jasmine. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah.
It was really great. I was doing the archive today, and some of my shows don't exist.
Oh, fuck.
So from now on, this is the first show I'm recording on my phone.
Oh, good
so,
idea.
So maybe in a day or two, my website will be up. I'll have my own personal, like, for the show, and you'll check in, and anyone can hear Jasmine's wonderful
my
guest.
Fantasies.
Yeah, ooh, all her beautiful, twisted fantasies. thanks again for coming on, and tune into Jasmine's show. Is it this Sunday or next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
What time?
At noon to 1.
Noon to 1. Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Eric Felix and Strip Mall. Looks like he's got a guest, is up next. Everybody have a good week and tune in next week for another episode of Open Up and Bleed. I am Eugene K. Jung Radio Boy. Eric!
That was fun. Thanks for having me.
That was fun. I had a great time.
Yeah.
That goes by so